The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
I want you to imagine that you're walking down the street and you come to a house and you see the house and it looks like a beautiful house. It's nicely painted. It looks fresh and clean. The gardens are growing well. The lawn is mowed and you think this is a beautiful place. And as you walk down the path, you open the front door and the sight and the smell of rubbish inside overwhelms you. You look and you see these piles of rubbish that are on the floor. You see mess on the walls. You see cupboards that are just overflowing. But it's not only that. It's what's moving around the place. It's the scurrying of rats running through the house. And that would horrify you, right? Doesn't sound like a very nice place, does it? So what do you do? Well, some people would say, a good chance to go to Bunnings. And they'd head off there and they'd buy as many rat traps as they could. And they would come back and they would set those rat traps. And they would catch all these rats. And then they would dispose thoughtfully of them. And then set the traps again and catch more rats. But how many times are you going to keep doing that? Because all you're dealing with is the symptoms, right? If you want to really deal with the rats, what's the problem? It's the rubbish. It's the rubbish in the house because that's where the rats are living. That's where they're getting their food source from. If you want to deal with the rats, you've got to get rid of the rubbish, right? A person can be like that house. It might be someone you know. It might even be you. Everything looks good on the outside. Everything looks really good. Someone would see you and go, this person's got it all together. They present so well. They seem to have it all together. Life is going really well for them. But if you open the door, if you're willing to look inside yourself, you know that there's maybe a little area of rubbish here or there. For some people, it's bigger piles of rubbish that you're aware of in your life. Maybe those piles of rubbish are growing. And the same principle that we talked about with the house can apply to someone's life. It's the rubbish in your life that's actually the problem. And it's the rubbish that allows Satan's spiritual helpers, those rats that the Bible calls demons, it's the rubbish that causes them to hassle you. At the moment in our morning services, we've been going through a whole series on prayer. We've looked at prayers of salvation. We've looked at praying for families. We've talked about praying with scripture. We've talked about praying the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about prophetic prayer. Last week we talked about prayers of confession. Today we're going to talk about spiritual warfare prayer, and we could deal with it right up here at this sort of this big high level, but I don't want to do that because in this whole series we've been trying to make it really applied. We're trying to make it personal. How is your own personal prayer life influenced or affected by the way you pray? How does it change your life? So today in spiritual warfare prayer, we're going to get really personal about how you would pray in ways that help see victory in your life. See, earlier in our service, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. We prayed this line that said, your kingdom come. Now, if we're praying for God's kingdom to come, what does that mean? Well, it means there's another kingdom as well, right? We're not just praying, you know, your kingdom come as though that's the only kingdom. There is another kingdom. The Bible teaches us there's two kingdoms in the spirit realm. Colossians 1:13 says, for he saved us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The words dominion and kingdom have both got dom in them. Why? They both originate from the Latin word dominus. The Latin word dominus means Lord. So what that means is Colossians 1:13 tells us that Father God, your Father in heaven, loves you so much that he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness. That is the place where Satan is Lord. That's what it means. There is a kingdom of darkness where Satan is Lord. And your loving Heavenly Father has made a way to rescue you from that place of darkness and brought you into a kingdom of light. The kingdom, the domain of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the Bible uses this imagery of light and dark. So there is a kingdom of darkness where Satan is in charge, using that word dom. In other words, he is Lord of the kingdom of darkness. And then there is a kingdom of light where Jesus is Lord, Jesus Christ, Lord in the kingdom of light. And so there's these two kingdoms. As followers of Jesus Christ, we live in the kingdom of light. But we still live in a fallen world. Bad stuff still happens. Why? Because sin and evil continue to exist in the world. Now, sin came into the world through the original sin that we saw happen in the Garden of Eden, where Satan was present and caused temptation and sin. And today, the ramifications of that continue to filter through in our world. And so there is bad and evil in our world. Now, not all bad and evil is caused directly by Satan. Some of it is happening indirectly because of the reality of living in a fallen world due to that original sin. Ephesians 2:1-3 says this: As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So what this shows us is that our wrong behavior can originate from one of or a combination of three different sources: the flesh, the world, or the devil. So let's look at these briefly in turn. We start with the flesh. Flesh is personal. It's what originates from within you. In Galatians 5:16 says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the desires of the flesh come from within. It may be from memories of things that you've seen or heard. If you have seen a pornographic image, it is possible that that image seems to just sit there in the back of your mind at times, and at times cause temptation, which may lead to sin. If you have seen or experienced violence or trauma, that might cause you to feel fear or anxiety, which can be overwhelming. That is a negative effect in your life and can lead in times to sin. These are temptations that are coming from within you that can lead to sin. If we look at the world, we're looking at the world in a social context. In other words, this is temptation or sin that is originating from outside of you. In Romans 12:2, it says, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what's the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is the influence of the social world around about you. In other words, it's what you watch on YouTube or Netflix that can lead you to sin. It might be that when you are hanging out with a group of people and they start to challenge you or say to you, oh, come on, you can do this. And you give in to the peer pressure of those around you that leads you to sin. That is an influence of your social networks, of something outside of you that is causing you to respond in a way that makes you sin. And then there is the spiritual element. This is the devil or Satan and his helpers, demons. This is maybe a time where you walk into a place and you are aware that there is something sinister there. You're aware that there's just like this dark, heavy, even evil presence that is there. You can't explain it in the natural. There are times that a wrong thought comes to mind. You haven't been thinking about this wrong thing and suddenly just, where'd that thought come from? That can be have a spiritual origin. We see that happen in the Garden of Eden. Here was Eve living this perfect life in this perfect place. And then Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 11 when he says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. All sin will originate from one of these three areas: the flesh, the world, or the devil. Or it could be a combination of all three. So now let's get practical. If we understand that, let's get practical at how we pray in response to temptation, sin in these areas. Last week, we talked about sins of confession. And we talked about this idea that there are two ways that we can sin. There's what we call sins of commission. Sins of commission is where we have done something wrong. We know we've gone against the word of God. We know, well, I actually did that. And that was wrong. That's a sin of confession, a sin of commission. We also looked at this idea that there are sins of omission. Sins of omission is where you know you should have done something that was good and you didn't do it. And so it's what you've omitted to do that you should have done. Those are sins of omission. And what we saw is that when you are aware of sin, it is important to confess it to God and ask for forgiveness. So we looked at this verse from 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we looked at this idea that we confess our sin, and as we confess it, we are purified. God removes the rubbish from your life. That's what happens with confession. Now, earlier we saw that sin can come from the flesh, the world, or the devil. Now let's look at rubbish in each of these different spheres or ways that they can impact us. How is this rubbish there and how do we get rid of it? So if we think starting again with the flesh, an example of sins of the flesh could be what we call inner vows. Inner vows are words that we speak over ourselves. It could be, I'll never be good enough. It could be, I'll never stop watching porn. I've tried, I just always give in. It could be, I'll never be good enough, ever. I won't trust anyone, ever again. I'll never be beautiful. See, these are words that people speak over themselves. Sometimes they speak them out in a moment of anger or frustration or disappointment. Sometimes they just keep saying it again and again and again. And the problem when people speak these inner vows over themselves is twofold. One is if you keep saying it over yourself, you start believing it. And what you believe affects then what you think, what you do, what you say. The second thing is, as you continue to speak that out over yourself, the devil's listening to that and he says, you said it, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to what you just said. And that's a problem there. So how do we respond to these, what would otherwise can become self-fulfilling prophecies that we just keep speaking over ourselves? How do we respond? Well, we need to confess those inner vows or beliefs that we've spoken. We need to confess them as sin. Because you see, they're part of the rubbish that's been building up in our lives that's got to go. We need to confess these inner vows for the lies that they are, because they are lies. We need to ask God for forgiveness for speaking such negative words over our lives. Lives that He intended to be beautiful. Lives that He intended to be good. And you are replacing the beauty and the goodness of that with lies. We have to acknowledge that that's sinful. And ask for forgiveness for doing that. Now, earlier we saw that sin can come from the world around you. We live in a social world. The reality is every day we see and hear things that impact us, things that are negative. Let's just take the area of social media. When you're on social media and you look and you go, doesn't that person have it all together? What they post, their life must be so good. Anyone hearing this? Understanding? And you go, oh, wish I had it together like them. Never get it together, will I? And you allow what someone else has portrayed as their perfect world to impact you. But on the other aspect of social media, the big risk is also cyberbullying. It can be where someone posts something that is negative against you. And you take that on board and you take that as a negativity, as a curse against yourself. The result is you start believing lies about yourself. You start to receive accusations, false accusations against you. And you take them on board. You start to hear these negative words and you start to believe them. False negative words from others. And it causes you to focus on what is bad about you rather than what is good about you. What is good and true and right. When we talk about spiritual warfare, many of the properties of or the attributes of physical warfare also apply in the area of spiritual warfare. A classic one of that is propaganda. When we think of propaganda, we think of the fact that one side is distributing information to the other side. And it says to them, you're never going to win this war. It's saying to the people of that other nation or that other people group, they're saying, you can't trust your leaders. They don't have the resources that you need to win this war. They don't have the ideas that you need to win this war. Worse than that, they know they're going to lose and they're lying to you. That's what propaganda is about. It's the same in spiritual warfare. The enemy is giving propaganda against you. It is causing you to hear lies about you. And the risk is when you start to believe those lies. How do you deal with the rubbish, whether it be coming from within of your flesh, whether it be coming from outside as influenced by the world around about you? Again, what do? You start with confession. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin of believing a lie. It is a lie. I have to acknowledge that. Lord, would you forgive me? And Lord, I choose now to realize that's a lie and I choose to believe truth. I don't want to live out those lies any longer. I choose truth. Choose to believe who you are in God, in the God-given identity, that you are a son or daughter of a heavenly Father who loves you. Discover who you are as that son or daughter rather than the lies that the world is telling you about who you are. See, a really important step is asking the Lord to help you identify what is true. In your prayers, ask the Lord to help you discern what is true about what you believe about yourself. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help you discern truth. Because unless you know what is true, And what is false, you can't confess. So you actually have to know what is an area of sin in your life where you've been believing lies about yourself. You have to acknowledge that that's a lie, acknowledge you've been speaking it out as a lie, so then you can confess it and say, God, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? You can't confess what you don't know. So invite the Holy Spirit to help you know what is true and what is not. A really important part of your prayer in removing the rubbish is asking God to reveal the lies that are coming from within you, the lies that you keep perpetuating within your own self, as well as the lies from outside, identifying them, confessing them for what they are, rubbish in your life. Remove the rubbish, and the rats have got no place to be. So far, we've been focusing on what it means to remove the rubbish that causes the rats to come and remain. Remove the rubbish, you remove most of the rats. There are always some that will try to remain. It is appropriate to confront the rats directly by telling them they have to go. So in other words, what I'm talking about here is dealing with the spiritual, the demonic influences that are affecting you. In the context of earlier, this is the devil and his demonic helpers. When you are aware of persistent and perhaps unexplained sin or evil in your life, it is possible that it has got a spiritual, or what the Bible calls, demonic basis. Now today I'm not going to discuss in detail how to address that. As I said, I'm keeping today's message at the very personal applied level rather than a higher level. But I do want you to know that you have authority in Jesus' name, because Jesus gave it to his disciples, to those who follow him. We see here that it says here, when Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12, that was his disciples, to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits, that is, over the demonic. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. See, Jesus gave authority to his followers. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. When you are aware of temptation that is coming against you from a ungodly spiritual source, that is a demon, you have authority in Jesus' name to command it to be silent. In Jesus' name I command you to be silent. In Jesus' name I command you to depart from me. When you are aware of an underlying spiritual basis or an ongoing sin or pain in your life and you want healing in that area, can I encourage you? There is a wonderful ministry called Freedom Life. It's just part of a prayer ministry in this church. And I'd encourage you to consider making an appointment to go and spend some time with them. They help hundreds of people every year in dealing with the rubbish, emotional, spiritual rubbish that's in people's lives, and helping them pray through that rubbish would be removed, and also dealing with ungodly spiritual influences that are in their lives. Strongly encourage you, consider that if you're aware of an ongoing or underlying spiritual basis to sin or pain in your life. So let me summarize what we've covered so far. First, we want to remove the rubbish. If you've been identifying untrue beliefs, in other words, lies about yourself, if you've identified where there's sin in your life, confess it. Confess it as a wrong belief and sin. Confess it and receive forgiveness. Ask the Holy Spirit to replace it with new ways of thinking and living, choosing truth over untruth. When you've been removing that rubbish, when you've identified when temptations or sins have got a demonic basis, then address it directly in Jesus' name. So all of this so far has been about removing the rubbish, but there's another really important principle that I want to pick up on. We see this in Luke chapter 11 when it says this. This is the words of Jesus speaking here. And he said, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Now, I've highlighted there those words, the house swept clean and put in order. How do we ensure it stays that way? Well, a couple of things. Take out the rubbish. Secondly, take up the resources of heaven. Take up the resources that God gives you and makes available to you. Now, when we started this series, the first message was on a prayer of salvation. What does it mean for someone to choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ? And when someone chooses to pray a prayer that invites Jesus into their life, that he becomes their Lord and their Savior, then we saw that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in their life. The Holy Spirit is now living in them. But what happens is that you continue to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ, there is an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, be filled with the Holy Spirit looks like it's actually past tense, but it's not. When you look at the original language, it's actually a continuous ongoing filling. There is a continuous ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. That's God's intention, that as you grow as a follower of Jesus, there would be a continuous and increasing filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. But in the same way as it's possible for there to be an increasing filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, it is also possible to quench the Spirit. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, also wrote 1 Thessalonians. And in there, he says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't diminish the Spirit. So in other words, through our prayers and through the way we live our life, we can invite the Holy Spirit to have an increasing, continuous filling in our life, or we can choose to diminish the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Surely, we want our house to be so filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for anything else, right? That's what happens. As you continue to invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and equip you with spiritual gifts, as you continue to invite the Holy Spirit to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, as you continue to invite the Holy Spirit to so fill you, your house is being swept clean and kept in order. That's God's intention. I encourage you to not only be inviting the Holy Spirit into your life, but to also take up the resources of heaven that are available to you, including the heavenly angels. God created angels. He created angels, and one of their roles is to care for the children of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? If you have inherited salvation, in other words, if you have prayed that Jesus Christ would be your Lord and Savior, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, then this verse is saying that God is sending angels to minister to serve you. That's a promise that we see here in Scripture. God, in his love for you, hears your prayers. He hears your prayers, and one of the ways that he can respond to your prayers involves the ministry of angels who may come to bring protection, who may minister healing, who may result in or bring about provision for your needs. These are all different aspects of the role of the angels that God has. And we see in Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will." What's God's will? His God's will is that you would prosper and flourish in life. And God sends his angels to bless you, to minister to you, to provide for you, to protect you. I encourage you to take hold of the resources of heaven in your prayers and invite, ask God to send his angels to bring his protection around about you. Remember, every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, as I said earlier, you're praying your kingdom come, your will be done. You're praying that the kingdom of God and God's will prevail in your life, in your situation. Spiritual warfare is about the kingdom of God prevailing over the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light prevailing over the kingdom of darkness. In your life and everywhere. Today we've been focusing it in your life level. So to wrap up, there's three things to take hold of. First of all, take hold of the fact that you need to take out the rubbish. Where you're aware of rubbish, confess it, ask forgiveness, receive forgiveness. Take up the resources of heaven. Invite the Holy Spirit to be continually filling you. Ask the Lord to send his heavenly angels to minister. And when you do that, take victory in your life through prayer. See, in warfare, that's what it's about, isn't it? Is taking victory. It's about winning. It's about the kingdom of God prevailing. Your kingdom come, God. Your will be done. Take out the rubbish. Take up the resources of heaven. Take victory in your life through prayer. So as we wrap up here, let's just take a minute, just in silence, to reflect and say, God, what are you saying to me today? And as you ask that question, ask the Lord, what would you have me do with what I've heard? Invite you to pray in the next minute or so in your own way. Heavenly Father God, we give you thanks that in your incredible love for us, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came, he lived on earth, that he died on the cross and became victorious over sin and death, that he claimed the victory and made that available for us to live in victory. Thank you that he ascended to the dead. He rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you that the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to come to minister. Thank you that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you that when we pray, you call us to discern what is truth and what are lies. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and minister in truth. That, Lord, there would be a discernment in the lives of each person who's here or online with us. That, Lord, we'd be able to identify what is the word of God that is spoken to us about the goodness of each person's life, about what is true, what is beautiful, what is lovely, and what is God's plan and purpose. Help us to discern where there are lies, where there are untruths, where there are areas where people have spoken those words out over themselves, where others have spoken those words, where there is an ungodly spiritual influence in their life, and help them to be able to discern where that exists and needs to be addressed. And we pray, Father God, that in prayer you would guide each person to be able to respond through those prayers of confession. Respond in ways where they need to have someone else, whether it be through Freedom Life, be able to come and be able to minister and address the underlying spiritual basis. Pray, Lord, you would give people the courage to be able to say, yes, I do need some help in this area, knowing that it's available. Thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit comes. And I pray, Lord, for that continuous, ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit in the lives of each and every one. That, Lord, that filling of the house, the filling of a person's life of the Holy Spirit would be so evident, so real. I pray, Father God, that we would draw upon the hosts of heaven, the heavenly angels that you make available. That, Lord, there would be protection, there would be provision. That, Lord, people would live their life in victory that is available to them through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and pray, Lord, your blessings now over each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.